Hey, I've got the campaign brief ready, built from last quarter's data and the competitive landscape.
Approved. Oh, agents, where would we be without you?
Somewhere with a lot more tabs open.
Create your first Monday agent in minutes at monday.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So, after Trump's State of the Union address, friend of the show Adam Mockler was interviewed on News Nation by Chris Cuomo, and he was also joined by legendary former Fox News host Geraldo Rivera. Now, something shocking happened, even more shocking than some of the insane moments of the Trump State of the Union, and that is Adam Mockler took the gloves off and went scorched earth on Geraldo Rivera and added a legendary scalp to his collection. He's humiliated Scott Jennings, now Geraldo. I've got Adam with me right here. Adam, what the hell, man?
First of all, thank you for having me. Second of all, I honestly was not expecting anything that heated. I didn't do any really prep going into it. I thought it was going to be a chill conversation about the State of the Union and about everything. And then the way he worded it was just so incredibly dumb. He tried to invoke, number one, the Constitution. And number two, as you'll see, he tries to invoke the peaceful transfer of power. And I'm like, this is the worst possible route to go down. So I just had to jump on it.
Two things Trump is famous for valuing. So with that in mind, let's see Adam Mockler just go ham on Geraldo Rivera after, quite frankly, he was asking for it. Geraldo was asking for it. Take a look.
What I don't get, Adam, what is the sell on? I don't even want you to listen to the president of the United States as he presents his concerns to the United States people and the Congress. How do you sell that to people?
It's very charitable to say that Donald Trump would be listing his concerns to the American people and not just airing out his grievances and lying for 2 to 3 hours. Here's my response. Unprecedented moments demand unprecedented responses. The tariffs that Donald Trump put on, those have been unprecedented. The way that ICE has deployed to cities across the country, unprecedented. Trump's war against the Supreme Court that he just started, very unprecedented. I mean, he called for the arrest of the governor of my state, J.B. Pritzker. So if you're going to argue that Democrats are doing something unprecedented, then that's just not convincing to me. I think that Democrats shining a light on people like the Epstein victims or people who lost their health care or some of the small businesses that were ruined by said tariffs is a good use of time. It's a good use of the attention of the American people.
Geraldo, how do you see it?
I think that that is disrespect disguised as being hip. I think that there are 2 days a year when we support the president, regardless of his party. One is when he is inaugurated. The other is during the State of the Union address, when, as the Constitution requires, he gives you, he or hopefully one day she gives you what the state of the Republic is. And to suggest that because a president lies, you're going to boycott the State of the Union, really? That when the president lies, what president? The Republican, the Democrat? Don't politicians bend facts constantly, particularly when they're addressing big crowds? I think that it is rude and violates the pluribus unum, out of many one. It is in the Constitution. We all should stand together and celebrate our institutions.
Give me a break. You're going to cite the Constitution and the peaceful transfer of power, the inauguration, as something that we should respect when we're about to listen to the president, who was the first person to break that peaceful transfer of power after people were chanting, hang Mike Pence because of his election fraud lies. And about 4 years ago at the State of the Union, Marjorie Taylor Greene heckled Joe Biden when he was speaking about his deceased son, Beau Biden. So the Republicans have brought us down to new depths day by day by day.
So it is only the Republicans?
Yes, Donald
Trump. It is only the Republicans. President Clinton was in the midst of impeachment when he delivered the State of the... Wait a second. Do you remember?
Did Joe Biden post an AI photo of Obama as a gorilla?
President Clinton...
Hold on.
President Clinton...
Hold on, I can't hear.
President Clinton President Clinton was in the midst of impeachment when he delivered the State of the Union. So according to Midas Touch, why was President Clinton allowed to speak? What bigger anchor could he have around his neck than impeachment?
Nobody's saying that Trump isn't allowed to speak, but we're saying that we don't have to listen to Trump when he's speaking. Nobody's saying he's not allowed to speak. We're just saying we don't have to listen. And it's a little bit different what Clinton did than Donald Trump deploying ICE to cities, killing U.S. citizens, calling for the arrest of people. And again, spare me like the Constitution when Donald Trump was the one who stepped all over it repeatedly 5 years ago.
So are you the one who gets to decide? You get to decide who we should listen to and who we should not listen to?
No, 40 senators, 50 senators.
What is your life experience?
Decided. 50 I know Democratic you have a representatives podcast.
What is your life experience?
Decide. I'm not the one deciding. The Democrats did. The Democrats decided they're not going to listen.
Deciding.
The American people did.
You're having
listen
your party.
This.
You're having
5 minutes. After the Midas Touch stream started, there were 100,000 people watching the waiting screen. The
Bravo.
Waiting screen had 100,000 people watching. I mean, how many people watch your show? Not as many as that. People want to know the
Fox
truth.
Fox News dwarfs your audience. Does that mean we should all listen and agree to what's being said on Fox News?
I'm just giving you the numbers, buddy. I'm just giving you the numbers.
Well, you're giving me your parochial take.
Okay, man. Listen, I'll be honest with you. I saw this thing and then I'm over here like checking notifications or whatever. I pull it up. I watched the whole thing from start to finish. And I was stunned. I mean, because Geraldo, you know, he used to work for Fox News. He's been critical of Donald Trump and the Trump administration. But he also has this weird kind of both sidesy thing. He still has an affection for Trump. Why did he react the way that he did? I've never seen him go as aggro with anybody as he went with you.
You know, I have now just been learning about all the lore. I'm such a young Gen Zer that I knew who he was. I knew he was. I've seen him on TV like a bunch, but I didn't realize that he was the Al Capone safe guy, right? I didn't realize that he had been punched on TV. Then after I did that segment, my grandma was sending me a bunch of his greatest hits, which was really, really funny. But I mean, I think that I think it's the baby face and the fact that I'm so young, it triggers people because he invoked my age or my lack of experience at the end. Remember, he was like, who are you to say? What's your experience or whatever? So I think that just the way that I look kind of throws them off. I mean, listen, if I had been on TV for 60 years, doing TV stuff for like 60 years, and some young, like baby faced dude comes in who's like, I wouldn't let him speak to me like that. I would probably jump through the screen as well.
Bullshit. Because you were talking, you didn't start that.
No, I didn't start it.
You were chill AF. And then he comes in hot because the Democrats dared, like some Democrats dared to boycott. Others didn't stand and salute and, you know, just like, you know, bow down and prostrate themselves before Trump.
The worst possible reasoning you could ever give. I cannot believe this guy says there are two times you have to respect the president, and he invokes the State of the Union and the inauguration. It leaves such an easy opening. You don't have to be an effing law student to see the opening that he leaves right there to attack. Like, oh, you're going to invoke the very peaceful transfer of power that Donald Trump undermined. And then inversely, oh, you're going to invoke the State of the Union, which number one, multiple Republicans boycotted a few years back. And Marjorie Taylor Greene, Marjorie Taylor Greene heckled Biden while he was talking about Beau Biden. This was like a huge famous clip. And she did it at the worst possible time. And they're going to say that, oh, there needs to be respect. So people are trying to paint him in my comments as like a MAGA shill. He's not even like a MAGA shill. He actually criticizes Trump a lot, like you said, but he has this terminal both sidesism where he's both sidesing everything. And why are you going to say we have to respect Trump? This is not a time when respect is there. Maybe Trump should respect the Obamas. Maybe Trump should respect J.B. Pritzker. Maybe Trump should respect the Epstein victims or anybody around him, our allies. He's leaked texts with our allies and bullied them for a Nobel Peace Prize, but we all have to sit down and still respect him. What? It doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense. And listen, I mean, quite frankly, both of the men you were on a panel with have a tendency to both sides the shit out of modern politics. I know Chris is your boy, and I used to love him on CNN, but something happened as soon as he got to News Nation, where he is the master of false equivalence. Or when he acknowledges the differences between the two parties, he'll say it's not enough. It's not enough that you're not as bad. He'll famously say, you got to be better. And to me, it's like bullshit. I'm sorry. Like, you can criticize the Democratic Party all you want, but it is a lie. It is just a fucking lie to suggest that it's as bad as Trump. And to your point, respect has to be reciprocal, baby. Like, it's not just that Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene heckled over Beau Biden. Somebody played a clip about this because I totally forgot. You know, based Mike Lee, Senator Mike Lee, he's talking mad shit on Twitter about, he's like, oh, these Democrats disrespecting the president. I've never seen anything like it before. And somebody posted a clip of Mike Lee, the biggest dork in Republican politics, trying to heckle Biden, you know, from the peanut gallery just a couple of years ago. And it's like they were all total assholes during the Biden administration. And so why is it there this expectation, Adam, that Trump is entitled to a respect that he does not give? And it's not just Trump, but MAGA in general. You are expected to be kinder to MAGA as a liberal political commentator than MAGA pundits are obligated to be respectful to you. What the fuck?
Because it's the eternal victimhood of conservatives, the eternal pearl clutching, always making sure. I mean, they thrive off the victimhood that drips down from Donald Trump's style of politics. He's always playing the victim. He quite literally tries to overthrow an election. Then when he gets investigated for it and charged for it, he's all of a sudden the victim. He puts his face everywhere and says, they're coming after you. I'm just in the way. It's like, no, dude, we're just coming after you for committing this crime. So they all have to try to be grapple and grab moral high ground in any way they can. So they act like they're not getting the respect they deserve. And that's what pisses me off the most, because you know what they do? They successfully muddy the waters pretty well. Now, of course, people like you, people like me, people like Midas Touch, other people on our sphere, Luke Beasley, we all work every single day to make sure that there's no both sidesism, no false equivalencies. And that's why you should drop a like and subscribe while you're watching this. Drop some blue
100%. We gotta get this man to 2 million subscribers, okay? He's well on his way. By the way, sidebar, how close are you?
Like 150, 140K away, but subscribe to both of us. Subscribe to Josiah as well.
Please.
Either way, it's important that we're out there making sure there's no false equivalencies, because most of Americans, the vast majority of the population, I'm afraid, are broadly apathetic. Or they were before Trump took office, and that's why he won. They thought that both sides were essentially the same. They thought this, the Democrats are just a little bit, maybe just as corrupt as Donald Trump. But now they're starting to realize the way that Trump weaponizes ICE, benefits off of Trump coin, violates the Constitution, is very, very unique. And we need to make sure we illustrate that every single day. And Geraldo Rivera got kind of caught up in that. Cuomo gets caught up in that. The people who watch a lot of these, you know, News Nation, they're caught up in making sure that everything is perfectly balanced when it's not.
No, 100%. I mean, my God, when it drives me nuts when people talk about corruption and they use my least favorite two words, which is Hunter Biden. And it's like, miss me with that shit. Yeah. Miss me with that. Even if I grant you the most maximal interpretation of Hunter Biden corruption, it's a rounding error to 1 year of the Trump family corruption.
It's like when Donald Trump tried to overthrow an effing election, and then they say Hillary Clinton went on Oprah's show one time and said that he was an illegitimate president. It's like, again, even if I grant you the least charitable interpretation of what Hillary Clinton said on like Oprah's show, it was like Howard Stern. I don't know. She went on some podcast and said he's illegitimate. Even if I grant you the worst interpretation, it's nowhere near the 1 year. Now it's like 5 year terror campaign that Donald Trump waged against the 2020 election. He waged the campaign for a year before it happened, saying it was going to be rigged, saying that you shouldn't do mail-in ballots, undermining it over and over. Then he declared it's just not even the same. And they draw this false equivalency. And I don't know. It's annoying. So we need to make sure we're out there being aggressive as hell.
I know. I totally agree. And listen, I want to say one other thing on the score, because it ties into the State of the Union address. I mean, for me, the worst moment of that State of the Union, Adam, was when, you know, Trump said that the Democrats can never win an election without cheating. And Mike Johnson and J.D. Vance and the Republicans all stood up and applauded. And so to me, it's like we're on track to win the midterms. But what does that signal, not just with Trump saying it, but the people around him, not just even in his administration, but Republican lawmakers standing? Yeah, if the Democrats win in November, it's only because they cheated. And what might they do to invalidate that win? Mike Johnson famously tried to help Trump steal the 2020 election. J.D. Vance famously said on the 2024 campaign trail that had he been in Mike Pence's position, he wouldn't have certified the election results. So it could be that we're heading towards a situation where we win in the midterms and they do everything in their power to prevent the Democrats from being seated and taking the majority in the House and or the Senate.
There's a few things I want to point out. So first of all, the Republicans are also already very, very close to losing their majority. Representative Tony Gonzalez of Texas, his 23rd district, has been engulfed in a massive scandal where he essentially pressured one of his aides into sending him sexual messages, and then that aide killed herself. It's tragic. So they could lose their majority before that, especially after Marjorie Taylor Greene resigned a month and a half back, and then Representative Doug LaMalfa died that same day. They're very, very close to losing their majority. Secondly, they're already trying to pass the SAVE Act, which is not really a voter ID act. It's a voter registration act that increases barriers for no demonstrable reason. There's no demonstrable evidence of fraud. This will just only increase barriers for certain people to vote, like women, like young people, like minorities, like disabled people. So they're already trying to increase those barriers. And finally, the fact that they're undermining the election, what, like 7 to 8 months before it happens, is not a good sign. This Republican Party will do anything they possibly can, from redistricting in the middle of a census cycle to passing a restrictive voter registration bill to then undermining the election. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson has been acting dumb about how certain elections work. He was like, you know, there was a clip that went super viral. He was acting stupid. He was like, they took 2 weeks to count the votes in California. I don't know why it takes 2 weeks to do this. And the real debunk for it is that if you send in a ballot and it's postmarked, stamped election day, can still be counted for about 10 to 14 days, which is fair for people who are in the military, right? And then he's undermining that and acting stupid. So the point is, they're going to continue to erode our democracy, but we need to make it too big to rig. We need to come out in massive numbers. And at the end of the day, I'm rather confident in our election systems. And people may ask why, but you know, it's so sloppy. The states are so decentralized. It really is state by state by state, county by county by precinct, so much so that it's not as easy for Trump to step in and rig this without everybody figuring out right away. So we're gonna win. We're gonna win back power. There's gonna be investigations, oversight committees, and it's gonna be absolutely amazing.
Dude, I'm much more optimistic than I was at the beginning of this conversation. Look at you being the liberal morale captain and doing well. Last question, because you said you were texting your grandmother about Geraldo. Was she pleased or displeased that you punked his ass on live TV? I mean, you took a hero from your grandmother's generation and you basically abused a senior citizen on live TV. I mean, what the fuck, Adam?
She was very happy. Let me see. She sent me a Google search result of Geraldo getting punched in the face. She didn't actually send me the video of it. It was just her Google search result of it, which is really funny. So she Googled it and just sent me that link. So I think I get what she was trying to. She probably is a fan of him that just thought it was kind of funny that we interacted. And at the end of the day, it's all respect. I don't know how to describe it, but at the end of the day, like at the end of that interaction, I was like, you know, it's respect. I think that this guy has been doing this for years and he's 82 years old. And at the end of the day, I'm, you know, still making my name. So I'll be super aggressive in these scenarios and it's fun. But I'm not trying to like I don't hate the guy.
No, of course not.
Disrespect. Yeah.
Of course not. And again, he provoked that fight. He went in. You were typical chill Adam and he started talking shit. He started shit for no reason and you ended it. It was a beautiful moment, man. Congratulations on all your success. Thanks for having the conversation with me. And everyone, please be sure to go to Adam Mockler's channel if you are not subscribed and like and subscribe. And let's get this guy to 2 million.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNC 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.